Welcome. My name is Katarzyna Monika Pawlak. I'm the social media trainee editor of UWiDZI Journal, and you're listening to UWiDZI Journal podcast. Each episode will highlight one of the most relevant articles recently published in the journal in order to learn from the most up-to-date evidence and discuss with the authors the relevant findings of their research.
Welcome to the UWiDZI Journal podcast on the paper High Prevalence of Extended Spectrum Beta-Lactamase Organisms and the COVID-19 Pandemic Impact on Donor Recruitment for Fecal Microbiota Transplantation in Hong Kong, published in UWiDZI Journal in November 2021. My name is Iago Rodriguez. I am a trainee editor of the journal and gastroenterologist in Bilbao, Spain. And I am glad to welcome Dr. Eng from the Department of Medicine and Therapeutics at the Prince of Wales Hospital in Hong Kong, who will join me today for this interview. Dr. Eng, welcome. It is a great pleasure to have you here today, and congratulations for your great paper. Dr. Eng is a gastroenterologist in Hong Kong, and you have worked with more colleagues in this paper, so please introduce yourself and your research team.
So thank you very much for this invitation to this podcast. So I'm Sue Ng, I'm a gastroenterologist as well as a clinician scientist and the director of a microbiota innovation center at the Chinese University of Hong Kong. Our team, which consists of microbiologists, basic scientists, clinicians, as well as bioinformaticians, has been working in the field of the gut microbiome for the past decade. Our goal was to transform knowledge and advances in microbiota to effective diagnostic as well as therapeutic to improve the treatment for many human diseases. And in particular, we developed a clinical and research laboratory team of fecal microbiota transplantation more than 5 years ago. And currently, our center is the sole provider of FMT to the entire Hong Kong population for the treatment of recurrent Clostridium difficile infections. And our team also are performing multiple different research programs in utilizing fecal microbiota transplantation for other non-gut disorders, such as obesity, type 2 diabetes, mental health illness, as well as cancers and autism. So it's a pleasure to be here to share our work.
Thank you. And firstly, can I ask you to explain the background behind your study and why you considered research in this area?
So, fecal microbiota transplantation has clearly revolutionized the treatment of C. diff infection. We know there's a huge unmet need because there are 100,000 over cases of C. diff infection in Europe. And the issue is that 1 in 5 people with this infection do not respond to antibiotics. And there's 30% mortality, and many people have recurrence of the treatment. So we have recently made a new treatment of fecal microbiota transplantation. We know there's an increasing demand for this. Therefore, we created a new stool bank in order to source long-term healthy donors in order to basically share our experience in recruitment and screening fecal donors. So we started this program in 2013. When we first started, we have to recruit healthy related donors of the patients. And this actually leads to delay in treatment, and it is time consuming. Therefore, now we have a FMT stool bank, which helps us to streamline donor recruitment, have a stringent procedure to screen our donors, and therefore we can provide very timely FMT to patients who may have life-threatening recurrent C. diff infections. And that's the reason why and how we started this program in 2013.
Great, thank you. I think that those details about your experience provide a great overview of the topic and your background on this. And please, can you just describe the methods that you use for this specific study?
Absolutely. So in order to recruit donors in Hong Kong, we actually provide certain news, online advertisement, and mailing. And we mainly recruit donors from our internal mass email system from the Chinese University of Hong Kong, because we want young and healthy individuals. And many of them were actually students within the university. And in order to qualify, they have to satisfy a pre-screening telephone conversation and then subsequently undergo a screening questionnaire, which include medical history, physical examination. And finally, they have to also pass the blood test as well as do investigations. I want to highlight that in particular, since 2019, the FDA in the United States have clearly issued safety concerns about the use of FMT in the risk of multi-drug resistant organisms such as ESBL. And we also know that now with the COVID-19 pandemic, the stool also may carry the SARS-CoV-2 virus. Therefore, in our FMT screening procedure, we paid particular attention to multi-drug resistant organisms as well as the presence of SARS-CoV-2 virus. And this has now been incorporated into our screening program. So for the screening process, we have three key parts. And we find that with this vigilant screening process, we believe that we would be able to ensure the safety of FMT to recipients who need it.
Thank you. That sounds really interesting and very important nowadays in this situation. And can I ask you about what are the new findings that your study has found?
So there are three key findings from this research. I think the first message is that the failure rate in donor screening for fecal microbiota transplantation is extremely high. So very few people actually qualify for it. For example, in our study, out of 119 potential donors recruited, in the end, we only recruited one donor that qualifies based on all the safety and questionnaire screening and blood tests. So this equates to a 0.8% success rate for an eligible donor. And this figure is rather comparable actually with other international standards that has been reported in Australia and Europe. In fact, I think our qualifying rate is even lower than the international standard. So we are very vigilant in ensuring the safety. I think the second key findings from this study is that we found that there's a very high prevalence of positive extended spectrum beta-lactamase organisms, ESBL, in the stool. And this is actually the main reason why many donors failed to qualify for long-term screening. And the last key message that is the challenge is that there's usually failed commitment to regular stool donation, and this may contribute to a failure rate in regular donor selection as well as recruitment. So I think these key findings has allowed us to further revise our protocol in order to be able to ensure that we have a good supply of donors for the FMT stool bank.
Thank you. I think that's very clear and it seems very relevant for every gastroenterologist and all the units performing FMT today. And following your explanation, have these findings changed your practice already during the pandemic or now that we are starting to end the pandemic, hopefully? But or do you have any recommendations for our clinical practice in the future?
So I think during the time of the pandemic with the presence of SARS-CoV-2 in the stool, as well as the increasing prevalence of multi-drug resistant bacterial colonization, especially ESBL, as well as MRSA and VRE, I think it's clearly very important that vigilant screening in these donors are absolutely necessary in order to lower the risk of transmission of either COVID-19 or ESBL through fecal microbiota transplantation. And this really echoes what the FDA has issued, whereby there were cases of ESBL transmission that may lead to mortality. And now we know that a surprisingly high proportion of healthy asymptomatic donors may also have the SARS-CoV-2 virus. So I believe what has changed in our clinical practice is that, number one, we really need to screen for these organisms that, although may be rare, may play a very important role in the safety of the future of FMT. And I believe that for every FMT stool banks worldwide, this should really be the gold standard of our current practice.
Thank you. I think that's very important for everyone, and especially for FMT, the FMT procedure, because it is increasingly used only for IBD, but also for Clostridium difficile and many other indications. But do you have some clues about how this may impact the research priorities in this setting? I mean, are there still any research gaps here?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there are several areas that we can continue to improve. I think the first would be to improve the recruitment rate of FMT donors. So it's not just less than 1%, and perhaps we can increase it to more, you know, prevalent sort of donor. I believe that in the future, and our group are also looking at research in looking at high prevalence ESBL carriage areas, whereby we may consider matching the donors and the recipients who carry the same group of ESBL organisms. Then we may be able to increase the donor pool for these sort of recipients. I think secondly, selection of donor may also need to incorporate the diet of the donor, because we believe that diet also now plays an important role in our gut microbiome and also their exposure to multi-drug resistant organisms through sort of antibiotic in the sort of poultry. So we believe that we now provide advice to our donor to actually reduce antibiotic, reduce any consumptions of non-organic food that may increase the prevalence of having ESBL. And I think thirdly, it's very important that we are also looking into optimizing FMT efficacy in any indications outside of C. diff infection. For example, in inflammatory bowel disease, in metabolic syndrome, as well as obesity, whereby we now know these diseases also has associated imbalance in the gut microbiome. So by matching the recipient and the donor gut microbiome, we probably will be able to increase the efficacy of FMT in these different diseases. And lastly, I think it's important to promote sort of stool donation program with incentive to sort of global sort of, community so that it could reach a wider population. Ultimately, FMT has revolutionized the treatment of recurrent C. diff infection, and we could have a very effective stool bank ongoing in different countries around the world. We may be able to perform research more rapidly, as well as revolutionize the treatment of FMT for other indications outside of C. diff infection.
Thank you, Dr. Eng, because your paper is very relevant, I think, for our practice today and joining this interview. Once again, congratulations. Your work is really, really nice and to read it in the journal and your insight about this findings.
Thank you very much.
And to our listeners, I hope you enjoyed this interview, and I strongly advise you to read the full version of this paper. And as always, you are invited to join us again for future UEG Journal podcasts. Thank you.
We hope that you enjoyed this interview, and please subscribe for further updates. Thank you, and see you again.